It's Paul Smolin, M.D., your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions, he has answers. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Welcome. This is Dr. Paul Smolin, also known as Doc Smo, broadcasting from Studio 1E in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for joining me today. I developed PEDcasts to help parents navigate a myriad of parenting topics ranging from infancy to graduation. In these PEDcasts, I express general observations and opinions that I have developed over a generation of pediatric practice and parenting. I am not providing medical judgments or advice. Let's talk kids with today's topic. Today's topic is umbilical cord care. Now, you would think that this would be all old news, that nothing new could be learned about an umbilical cord. But this actually is not true. There's some new medical information that's come out in the last 5 years about the best way to care for umbilical cords. And procedures at hospitals around the country are changing. So I thought I'd update you on that subject. And the other reason I picked this subject is that parents seem to always be afraid of their baby's umbilical cord. They think that it's going to hurt to touch it, and they think they're going to start bleeding. So let's explore those topics today. Let's digress a moment and take a little walk down what I call Science Lane. Let's learn a little bit about umbilical cord and placenta physiology. Now, you will recall there is no air in the womb, so babies cannot breathe. So all the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide has to happen through the placenta. Mom's lungs are doing the work, but that good work is being transferred to the baby through the placenta and the umbilical cord. A good functioning placenta and umbilical cord is absolutely essential to life. It is your baby's lifeline to staying alive. Now, there are a lot of blood vessels in an umbilical cord. Two arteries, one vein. A lot of blood goes through there. But there are no nerves. There's no feeling when the obstetrician cuts the cord. And a clamp is put on right after birth to keep the cord from bleeding. After a few minutes, the blood vessels clot and there's no potential for bleeding through an umbilical cord. So, a little stump of the umbilicus is left on your baby's tummy, which hopefully will dry up in the first few weeks of life and fall off. So when I talk about cord care, I'm talking about that period of time between the time the cord is cut at birth and the little stump falls off. We're talking about care of that little stump. Now remember, that little stump is made of dead tissue. There's no blood flow, it's damp, and it's a wonderful place for germs to grow. And there will be some germ that takes hold on the surface of that cord. But usually it's a light growth of a wimpy bacteria and does not cause disease. But there's a potential that your baby could get an infection that could invade through the cord and into the skin around the cord, and that's called omphalitis. And if that happens, your baby's cord will begin to smell bad, and the skin around the cord will get red and puffy, and potentially a serious life-threatening infection. This is an urgent medical problem. Notify your baby's doctor immediately if you think this is happening. Now, the real disease-producing bacteria that can cause this are Staphylococcus, Streptococcus, or even tetanus. These are serious disease causers, seriously mean bacteria. And traditionally, to avoid infection, cleaning of the cord was recommended with either iodine, hexachlorophene, alcohol, or peroxide. Another mechanism that was used to make the cord dry up was the application of triple dye. It's three blue dyes that are painted on the cord at birth, and it was thought that this could make the cord less likely to become infected. Now, again, according to traditional thought, what we've done for the past 50 years, no water is supposed to touch the cord. The thinking being that the cord is like a dry sponge. If it gets wet, it'll absorb water, and this just adds fuel to the fire as far as infection concerns. Recent studies have questioned many of the old practices with regards to umbilical cord care. So I thought I'd bring you the latest research, the conclusions that people have come to. As far as alcohol is concerned, they find that it is not helpful and probably prolongs the period of time before the cord separates. Hydrogen peroxide, also not helpful. Triple dye, seems to look pretty good. It does cause drying of the cord and decrease infection rates. Topical antibiotics. This, we know for sure, breeds resistant bacteria, makes the germs stronger, and does not reduce infection rates. So it is not recommended currently. And then there's what's called natural healing. This is pretty radical. Let the cord just dry up and wash with soapy water if it gets soiled, but basically leave the cord alone. Well, the current winners seem to be either triple dye without any topical treatment versus natural healing. Now, you're going to hear a variety of advice when it comes to umbilical cord care because there's still some confusion and we're still having some evolution with regards to our thought on the subject. But many of the old traditional treatments need to be abandoned. That is, washing with alcohol, washing with peroxide, putting on topical antibiotics. These are all to be discouraged. So let's summarize what we've learned. The obstetrician in the delivery room cuts the cord and clamps the stump left on the baby. There is a little bit of the umbilical cord left on your baby's navel. Now this tissue is damp and has no blood flow and is rather prone to infection. If the cord begins to get smelly or the skin around it gets puffy or red, let your healthcare provider know immediately. This could be the beginning of a serious newborn infection. Now, I'm all about grandma advice, and she's usually right about everything, but in this circumstance, she got it wrong. She told us, clean with alcohol or peroxide or put topical antibiotics on frequently to reduce the risk of infection, but this turns out not to be the case. The only scientifically proven methods of cord care that seem to help are either triple dye application in the hospital by the hospital staff or the natural healing approach. Just basically leave it alone and wash it with soapy water when necessary. Well, this is Doc Smo thanking you for listening. Until next time. I want to thank the following people for their contributions to this podcast: Seth Jaffe for his creative editing, Sarah Smolin for her digital editing and photography, Wendy Smolin for her legal counsel, Ann Gesner for her content editing, and Ben Smolin, Jerome Moof, and Robert Beezer for producing this phenomenally beautiful music that you're listening to. Thanks, guys. I want to thank the following people for their contributions to this podcast: Seth Jaffe for his creative editing, Sarah Smolin for her digital editing and photography, Wendy Smolin for her legal counsel, Ann Gesner for her content editing, and Ben Smolin, Jerome Moof, and Robert Beezer for producing this phenomenally beautiful music that you're listening to. Thanks, guys.